So we're going to go to Psalm 18. We're going to go to Ephesians, I think it was 3, and Luke 15, okay? So Psalm 18. Lord, we're asking that you would open this up to us because we want everything you have for us. And we just want to see this through your eyes and hear this with ears that can hear what you have to say. Please help us right now just to prepare our heart, to humble our heart, to allow your word to judge us, to show us truth instead of us trying to judge it. We just say thank you, Jesus. I'm going to read, I don't know what you call it, but it's the part right before the, verse 1. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord." It's a choice. Love is always a choice. "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation." Protector, shield. By the way, I'm glad you asked that. If you look on some of these, tables, you'll see this right here. We printed up a number of them, and it says it's a short glossary of biblical usage. We use the King James Bible here, and you may not always know what a word is, but if you're not sure, you could. We have them around here. If you want to take one, just let us know so we could replace it. But that's why we've got them out here on the table, so you could look it up, and it'll tell you what the words are, okay? Like, it'll help you to understand, because we don't talk the same way they did in 1611. You know what I mean? When I took Shakespeare class when I was in Bible college, because the founder loved Shakespeare and he had all his works in his library and whatever, and he taught Shakespeare. And when you went to take Shakespeare, the way Shakespeare talked was kind of like the way King James is, but the way he talked, it was like, you know, I hadn't read it before, so it wasn't like I was familiar with it. King James I'm real familiar with, but when somebody, when he was doing all that, I was like, what is he saying? You know, and I had to really stop. So maybe when you first start reading the King James Bible, it's like you're going, what is he saying? You know, because we don't like talk like that, you know. Comest over here. Like, I'll call Glenn and say, how you doing? And he'll say, finest. We just do that all the time. How goest thou? You know? So anyway, that I'm so glad I have a sense of humor. I have to. Verse 3, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Angela, would you like to read the next 3?
"The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears."
Thank you. Would you like to read the next 3?
Mm-hmm. "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet."
Would you like to read the next 3?
"And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him, were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones, coals of fire."
Amen. Would you like to read? If you want to.
"The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. The channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, the last blast of the breath of your nostrils.
Right. Young lady.
He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support.
Amen. You'd like to read three?
Okay. He brought me forth also into a large place and delivered me because he delighted in me.
Oh, I love that.
The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleansing of my hands, as he
rewarded me, basically,
rewarded
is what that's saying.
For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God.
Rick, would you like to read three? You don't have to. Just anybody. If I ask you, you don't have to.
For all his judgment were before me, and I did not put away his
statute
from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept him myself from my iniquities. Therefore hath the Lord
recompensed
me according to my righteousness, according to the
cleanness
of my hands in his eyesight.
Amen. Levi.
With the merciful you show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure, and with the devious, you show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks.
Amen. Would you like to read?
You light a lamp for me, the Lord my God lights up my darkness. In your strength I can crush an army. With my God, I can scale any wall. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to him for protection.
That is awesome.
For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength. Amen. And maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon high places.
Amen. Would you like to read?
Sure.
Go ahead.
He changed my hands to battle. My arms came in the war bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your hand sustains me. You stooped down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn.
Amen. Hello. Go ahead.
I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me.
Would you like to try a time?
Thou hast also given me the necks of my enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cry, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them all small as the dust before the wind, and I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets.
Glenn?
Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places.
The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. Whoa. Let the Lord God of my salvation be exalted. Whoa. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Whoa.
Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore.
There's so many verses in there I wish that we just take and meditate on. I like verse 19. One time God, in my life, because I'm a little bit strong personality and I got this strong flesh, I've had a lot of rejection in my life. In verse 19, one time God just quickened that to me where it says, He delighted in me. You see, God doesn't just love me. There's some people that I love. Like I will pray for every one of my customers. I pray for people because I choose to let God love them through me. But I don't always like them. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like the way they're acting. I don't like the way they treat me. I don't like the way they treat their mate. I don't like the way they treat Jesus. But this verse says, He likes me. And boy, I wrote it right in my Bible. God, when He showed me that, I took off running. I know you in church, y'all supposed to just sit like this, you know. I couldn't sit because all of a sudden He showed me, I like you, Harvey. And when He did, I took off running. He likes me. He likes me. I don't care what you think. He likes me. And I am running. I mean, that might have been the time Sue said I was running on the walls. I don't remember. All I know is I was blown away that God didn't just love me. He likes me. And it helped me to learn to start liking myself. Somebody was just reading. Where was it? Whatever. Anyway, you ought to go through. There's a whole lot of good stuff in there. Anyway, I'm just glad He led us to that. Turn over to Ephesians 3 now. Yeah, that's in the New Testament. We're in the Old Testament, so go to Ephesians 3. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. You ready? All right. We're not in a hurry now. Ephesians. Yes, after Romans. It's after Romans. Yep, it's after. You got Ephesians. Are we in Ephesians? Good. Everybody got Ephesians? You look in, it's in the New Testament toward the end. Okay, right here. Look.
Okay.
Ephesians, hang on right here. See? Ephesians.
Okay.
Okay? You got it? I could tell you what page it's on if you had my Bible. But anyway, here we go. You ready? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Hey, 1241. Hey, check it out. Okay. Are you ready? You got a Thompson chain, don't you? Well, that's just why, of course. Okay, you ready? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21. Are you ready? I'm sorry, we have to read verse 13 too. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, You want to pray over somebody, just pray this one. I love it. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. That you got your roots in love. Guess what's coming up through your roots? Love. Guess what's coming up into your trunk? Love. Guess what's coming out into your branches? Love. And then all the fruit and the leaves, guess what's coming out? Good night. Why don't we just get rooted and grounded in love? Okay, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, wrap your little brain around with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. You're like, pick this up. Just get a grasp of God and what He's really like, what He's really about, His kingdom. You ready? And to know the love of Christ, which, by the way, passes knowledge. You mean you love me when I was spitting on you? You love me when it was my sin that killed you? Jesus, what kind of love is this? He says, mine. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, here we go. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the... Oh, let's just get a little bit. Here, Lord. I just want a little bit. Dude! You understand? The fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could possibly ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, only up until 2009, that's not what it says, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I just had a thought. 13-21 is a prayer that Paul was praying for these people where he started a church in a city called Ephesus. It was right outside Hudsonville, you know. But anyway, maybe it was Georgetown, but anyway, whatever. And well, I wonder what would happen if we just prayed this over our homes, over our lives, over our friends for the next week or two. God might even think we meant it and just answer it. I wonder what would happen. Whew. Sorry, God is just so cool. Luke 15. Luke, you're in Matthew, you know, or you're in Ephesians. Go back to the middle, you know, or back toward the Old Testament. That's, you know, the New Testament starts with Matthew. Then you got Mark. Then you got Luke. The boys hanging up together. Luke 15. 11-32. You ready? And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. There's a lot of people around us. That's what we hear them say. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country away from dad, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, began to be in need. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Why don't you go hang out with the pigs? And he would fain or have desired to have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. You know, have you ever plucked corn? Like, have you? Like, have you ever walked through a field and every stalk it'll have three corns on it, or whatever, ears? And then you pull that off, and you can't, you know, it. They're all covered with that green stuff. Those are the husks. Okay? Yeah, they don't taste so good, you know, but he said he was so hungry that he desired to eat even that. And no man gave unto him. And when the boy came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and yet here I am, perishing with hunger. Ding, ding, ding. I know what I'll do. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet, while he was still a great way off, his father saw him because he was looking for the ones that were lost. And he had compassion and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father shushed him and said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son, the older boy, who stayed at home, was in the field working. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And the boy who had stayed at home, the older brother, was angry that his brother had returned. And he would not go in. God gave us a free will, and he would not go in. Therefore, his godly father, his compassionate, gentle father, went out to him and entreated him, begged him, pleaded with him. And he answering said to his father, lo, or check this out, or look, or, you know, or what some of y'all would say nowadays, yo. He said, lo, these many years do I serve thee. Look what I am doing. And neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. I was perfect. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, not as soon as my brother, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. How does he know? Sounds a little judgmental to me. And thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, he didn't say, boy, go to your room. He said, son, thou art ever with me. Son, you are always with me. And all that I have is thine. It was meet, it was fit that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, not this son of mine, but this thy brother, reminding him of his relationship, was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. I just want to read things to you. I want you to see the Father's love. We've been talking about this. I keep trying to get off of this. And God says, Harvey, I'm doing something inside of you. And people have been coming up to me and saying, Brother Harvey, you're becoming more gentle. You're becoming softer. God's like working some of them rough edges off of you.
Same with me.
And so as long as he's doing that, I just got to keep letting him do what he wants.
How can you be a Christian?
Did you hear what he said? He said, I think that's important about God's love, because if you have a wrong idea about it, how can you really be a Christian? You see, we, by nature, think that God, Father God, is like our dad was, or like our mom was. Just want to share some things with you about the Father's love, because of who God really is. When we started this church, God said, remember I told you it was against our will, and God said, do you know what kind of church this is? And I said, no, I don't. I've never seen anything like it. And he said, it's called a relationship church. And I said, where's that? He said, Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And then he told me afterwards that that's what this church, that's what our verse is, that's what our passage is about, that's what this church is supposed to be about. And it says there, a lawyer trying to trick Jesus says, Master, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God with everything. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, when you get to know the real God and you start finding out how he loves you, how he believes in you, and how he thinks toward you, and you stop believing what you've thought of him, you thought he was like your dad. Mean, didn't have time for you, not there. I don't know, all kinds of things like that. Harsh, self-focused. And when you stop, when you start, how do I want to say it? When you quit believing that about God, as you get to know the real God, and you start finding what he's really like, and you start receiving that and believing that, you'll start getting to know the real God. And when you do, and you're hanging out with him, you're going to find out who you are, because you're going to start seeing yourself through his eyes. Because you see, that's what we need to do as parents. We need to sit down with our kids, or like our grandkids, like in our case, and we just bring them up on our lap, and they want to hang on to us and hug on us, and they look in our eyes, and we just believe in them, and we love them, and we tell them, I accept you, and I believe in you. And you know what? I'm finding what's happening in their lives is a whole lot better than what's happening in my life most of my life, because I didn't think I was accepted, and I had to try harder to be accepted. So that's why I went the extra mile to try to make straight A's and be perfect and live this perfect life, trying to be accepted. Do you understand? And no matter what kind of grades I made, my dad would say, well, that's good, but you could do better. And it's because that's what he was done to him. So then he turned around and did it to me. But then God got to where if I made a C and it was as good as I could do, like for some reason, like I took trig and I said, would y'all just speak English? I sat there the whole class and I said, I know I see your lips moving. And every now and then I understand some of the words you're saying. I said, but I sure wish you'd speak English. I'm used to making straight A's and I don't have a clue what y'all are talking about. I tried calculus. It was the same thing. Please, give me the interpretation. Put it down on the bottom shelf. I don't get it. And so if my best was a C, do you understand?
Right.
I'm accepted. Your best may be an A. Mine's a C. If we're comparing like this, we're messing up. you do your best, not best compared to what everybody else can do. Because then we get full of pride and, anyway. But let's talk about the Father. In verse 20, the Father was waiting for him. God's always been waiting for us. It's amazing. And he loves us no matter what. And he's waiting for us, even when we've gone off hurting him, wanting to be away from him. He's waiting for us. He was wanting his boy still. Even when his boy came, give me. I don't want you. I just want what you've got. What do you got for me? Now, I know better than you. I'm going to go and do what I want. I'm going to go please me. I'm going to go live for me. And I'm not going to do it around here because I don't really want anything to do with you. Takers, givers. And by nature, we're all takers. Until God comes inside. Or until we have a God consciousness. And because of God, we want to be a giver. And here's the Father after he was treated this way, still wanting him. He wanted his son. He wanted him and could hardly wait when he saw the son coming back, but had to run to him. Think about it. God is love. Two times, 1 John chapter 4. Okay? I believe it's verse 8 and verse 16. Verse 7 and 8 is a little song. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Go to verse 16, and it says, God is love. God is love. It's not just that God loves. God is love. He can't help himself. He loves. You see, love is not earned. God loves you because God loves you. He loves you because he made you in his image. He knows who you are no matter how you've been deceived or corrupted. The stinking thinking, our stinking choices that are outside of him, and he still loves us. He still loves us. And he wanted this son. He's calling this boy still a son after he treated him like that. He basically said, I don't want to wait until you die. Give me what I have. In other words, I wish you were dead because I just want what I want. He wanted this boy so much that he's watching. He's out at the edge of his property. He's watching. He can't wait. He knows what this boy is doing. He knows the attitude he had. He knows he's full of selfishness. He knows he doesn't care about him. But he loves this boy. His heart is broken. His heart is grieving. But he's out watching. And when he sees the boy, he couldn't wait. He goes running to him. He made the first move, even though the son was a great way off. And when we come to God, every one of you, when you've come here, every one of us, when we've come back to God, he loves us. God always makes the first move. Have you ever read Luke 19:10? It says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Years ago, they had a movement. I found it. It was back in the mid to late 70s because Sue called them when she was away from God. She had gone through a period of time right before she met me where God had to take her to the woodshed because she didn't think God was fair because he wouldn't do what she wanted, you know. I wonder why he just won't do what I want. So I'm not going to hang out with you anymore. I'm going to go do what I want. Bad God. So as she went through a lot of things and lost a whole lot, her life just went right down the toilet. And there was this saying going around at the time, because it was a movement or whatever, and they were saying, "I found it." And what it was talking about was people getting saved. But I found it. First of all, he's not an it. Okay? And second of all, he wasn't lost. You can't find God. He finds you. He's not lost. You and I are. Exactly. And here's this boy, lost. Lost to his family. Lost his life. Lost everything that he had. But his father loved him so much. He's watching for him. He can't wait for him. He's hoping against hope. Here the boy said, "I don't need you. I don't want you. I wish you were dead. Just give me what you have. I don't care about you." No relationship. It was all about him. And yet the father was waiting. The father was looking. The father was hoping. You understand, God? You're like, are you getting any of this? I'm just telling you. And when he saw him a great way off, you know, when we come back, our life's a mess. When we come to God, because until you realize your life's a mess, until you realize that as long as you have the hands on the steering wheel of your life, that you're just going to keep wrecking that vehicle. And there's things we don't even see. And we are so blind and we are so messed up. And we're thinking we're doing okay. Well, I went to church. Good. Good. But the boy was a great way off from where he needed to be. He was a great way off from his dad. And when the dad saw him, when the boy started coming back to the dad, and he was still a long way off, still a long way from where he needed to be, the dad went running to him. That's my God. That's my God. I hope, this is just a little thought, I hope when you're getting, when you're hearing this, that this is how we are. Let God live that way through us toward those people that are in our lives. Because they're, a lot of them, a great way off. They don't even know God yet. That we would love them. That we would believe in them. Because you see, they're not who you see on the outside. Do you know you can't even see a person? Did you know that? You can only see the body they're living in. Are you living in the same house you were living in 20 years ago? 30 years ago, for some of you. I've lived in the same house for 25 years. I wish I could say that!
No, actually almost 24 years.
24 years. So, 20, any of you 25 years ago living in the same house? Most people don't. But guess what? As our houses are temporary, so are these bodies. You can't see people. And when you look at them, you can't... You ever heard you can't judge a book by its cover? You ever seen a Bible with a worn-out cover? Does that make the contents bad? You see, if the Bible's wore out, then the person's not. But if the Bible's in perfect condition, the person's probably wore out because they haven't been getting what they needed. Because if they're opening that book, they're getting what they need, and they're going to wear it out. You get what I'm saying? The son was a great way off. The dad desired him deeply. His bowels yearned. He embraced the boy. He made him know that he was both accepted and wanted. He warmly touched. He was affectionate. He kissed him. And every time I come to Burning Bush, y'all just invade my bubble. Every time I come here, y'all just hugging on me. I just don't want anybody to go come in here without getting hugged. That's why every time I go to a McDonald's or someplace like that, and if you just listen to people, they tell you what's on them. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's needy. everybody's wanting more, needing more. And I don't spend an hour at the drive-thru. You've been with me. I mean, I just put my hand out, and lady said, "How are you doing?" I said, "About excellent." She said, "I wish I was doing about excellent." Ding, invitation. Would you help me to get to Jesus? That's what she was saying. She doesn't know it's Jesus. If she did, she could already get there. So I just put my hand out. I said, "As soon as I get my change, I'm going to help you get excellent." She said, "Would you? Would you teach me how?" "Ma'am, don't go away. Just let me get. I'm working on this change as fast as I can." And then I just put my hand out. And they look at my hand. And I just look at my hand and look back at them. And they just put their hand in mine. Because I want them to get Jesus. I just want to get you to Jesus. I wish I could, I'm sorry that I'm so, sometimes, whatever the word is, extreme. But I don't know how not to be.
You're excited about it. What's wrong with that?
Somebody said to me, people kept saying to me, "You are, what's that word? You are, hang on, I'm energetic. Y'all could probably say a lot of words that would fit, But there was a word, what's that word in the Greek? It means in God, in theos. What's that word? Whatever the word is. And in the Greek it means, it came from two Greek words, in theos, which means in God. And people would call me that, what? Enthusiastic. People would always say, "You're enthusiastic." And people kept saying that. "You're so enthusiastic for God." And I go, "Really?" So, people kept hearing it. I already had to hear it about 1,000 times. And then finally it was like, "Duh, why don't you go look up what that word means?" So I go look it up. It comes from two Greek words. In, theos. E-N, and then theos. In God. No wonder I'm enthusiastic. I'm in God. You see what I'm saying? It's like I can't help it. And I don't want no little bit of God. So I don't turn the valve off. You understand? Full throttle. Here's Father going after this boy. He was just aching for him. Is there somebody out there that you're aching for? Is there somebody out there that they're wayward, they're hurting, they're needy? See, we need to ask God, "Lord, would you give me eyes so that I could see him through your eyes? Help me to see her from your perspective. Not look at the surface." That's what we do this courtroom thing for. With the stuff we see on the surface, let's take it to court. No. Who is Bill inside? Who is Bill, Lord? Help me to see him the way you see him. And then, Lord, my heart is way too shallow for his need. My heart. It's too selfish. So God, in order for Bill to be reached through me, I choose not to operate in my love. Oh, I love him. Yeah, but your love just isn't enough. You see, his love is not like our love. And that's what this whole thing is about, is trying to show us the Father. See, I could go into the two sons and talk about how wayward we are, and how selfish, and how deceived, and how self-righteous because I'm trying to do all these things right. I could talk about the two sons. But you know what? Father keeps saying, what everybody needs to know is who I am. He said, if they just knew me, if you could just get this. That's what I used to say, like almost every service, right? I go, "You just get this!" Okay? Because when you meet Jesus, there's nobody like him. There's absolutely nobody like him. he accepted and wanted this son. Can you imagine the son comes back? He went, he had all this money. Somebody just told me this. We were coming back from Missouri. We were in Springfield, Illinois. I looked at my GPS. I could get to Grand Rapids by 7:45 or 8 a.m. yesterday morning. But we were already wore out. It was about 1 in the morning. And God was like, okay, get a clue. If you show up at 8 a.m. and you haven't slept all night, you're already tired. What do you think you're going to be by the next 7 hours? Why don't you pull off and spend a little money, Harv, and get a hotel? But, Lord, it's only for a few hours. They're going to charge me. And he's like, and where did you get the money from, Harv? And do you think I care about you or I care about money? And I'm like, you know, so I only had to drive about another 50 miles to get it. You know what I mean? And because I'm such a quick learner, you know. So we pull over, we go in, Bill and I, and there's this night clerk, right? And we go to talk to him. And this dude, Bill said, if you could just know one thing from God, ask him one question, what would you ask him? He said, I wouldn't ask him anything. He doesn't love me. Nobody loves me. And Bill was so wore out because he had led what we were doing that day. And God said, Harvey, you talk to him. And I said, Bill, would you just get our stuff and go to bed and I'll be there in a little bit. And I just start talking to this guy. And next thing I know, see, this guy had had a real bad life. Well, he had gotten an accident and got this big settlement. Imagine this, Dan. He had a bunch of money. And he said, I went and I spent it all. He's telling me this story. He said, I went, I had all these people around me, all these girls, while I had the money. And then I spent it all. And he said, I have no one. And I said, God loves you so much. He had to bring you to the end of yourself so that you could find him to be your life. You could find him to be the one that loves you and will never quit loving you and believes in you. But you had to go through all this because otherwise you just do a little bit of God. You know, we put him on Sunday, you know. Mm-hmm. I did God for an hour. I know my Jesus loves me this thing, no? You know, and it's like, okay, that's what I know of God. But where is he in your conversation? Where is he in your life? Where is he when you go up to see somebody in the hospital? Where is he every day as you need him? Mm-hmm. Because when you have, when you're, remember we just read about Ephesians 3, that you may have all the fullness of God? Because if you had the fullness of God, you wouldn't need to get filled with other spirits, would you? We wouldn't need all these other things, these addictive things. Because they don't give to you, they take from you. Verse 22, bring forth the best robe. Can you imagine what this boy looked like when he came back from working in the pig pens? When he had all this, and he's been in a far country, and no man, the Bible says, gave to him. I said to this desk clerk, I said, do you know why I'm standing here? I said, I'm dead tired. I said, I came here to get a room, and I just gave you $77 and change. Okay? Because he first told me it was going to be $94, and I said, well, we're ministers, would you consider giving us a discount? And he said, you know, the guy that owns this place, he just loves God. And he said, I think he'd want me to treat you better. And I'm like, I'm really glad to hear that. my pocket's going, quick going, ouch, ouch, you know. And so I gave him this money. I said, and I set Bill to bed. And I said, sir, if you need me to, I'll stay here until you clock out at 7:30. And I will talk with you and I will forego sleep because you are worth it. I said, do you know why I'm saying this? It's not because I'm a good person. Because I'm as selfish as he is or you are. I said, but it's because God is in me. And as he's loved me, I want to let him love you through me. So I'm willing. Because he laid down his life so that I could live. So I want to lay down my life so Jesus could live through me and you could experience Him because you need Him so bad. It was just like, it was so cool just watching God just love this dude. It was just so cool. It was just so cool. You know, I've got a Bible around here somewhere. I said, why don't we go find it together? And he brought it out. And I have these little cards that say, Jesus loves you. And I opened it up to John because I talked to him about reading John. Put it in there. And he said, I said, you know, anyway, can you imagine what this boy looked like when he came back from the pig pen? He had been out there. No man gave to him. Have you ever done anything like been in mud? And what do you think your shoes look like? This guy didn't have a Ramada to go clean up at before he went home. What do you think he looked like? What do you think he smelled like? And here's the dad falling on him, weeping, embracing, kissing him. What's he kissing? He's kissing him. Do you understand? Because he wanted him. He wanted him. And he says, bring forth the best robe. No, just some clean clothes, Dad. I don't need, no. Servants, bring forth the best robe. Robes were designed for princes and dignitaries. Not just a robe, but the robe. You know, the best one that we've got, you know, in my closet. Go get the best robe. I want him to know how much I value him. Don't just, and then his dad said, don't just offer it to him because the boy could say, I'm not worthy. I can't put this on. He didn't say, don't just offer it to him. He said, go and put it on him. Don't just offer it to him. He may feel ashamed or guilty to put it on himself, but put it on him. And on Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, maybe let's just turn there real quick and we'll come right back. Romans 8, 13 to 4, 13 to, I'm sorry, Romans 13, verse 8 through 14. You ready? Romans, and see, you're in Luke. So John, Acts, Romans, three books to the right. Chapter 13, you ready, verse 8? Everybody ready? Mark, you set? Here we go. Owe no man anything. But what should we owe people? To love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love doesn't hurt other people. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, Glenn. Remember, awake. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, break agreement with that, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14, I hope you get. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That means put on Jesus, get filled up. You ever got filled up here? But then when you leave, what happens is we start making some little choices that where we make provision for the flesh. Okay, I'm struggling with drinking. Okay, I'm not going to drink, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to go get some and put it in the refrigerator just in case. You just made provision for the flesh. You just set yourself up to fail. Are you with me? My wife and I had these real high standards. There's things that we teach y'all, like men minister to men and women minister to women. But sometimes women will come up to me and they want to just talk to me by themselves. No, 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 no. My flesh is no different than all the other men's flesh who's fallen. Do you understand? I don't want to make provision for the flesh. I don't want to allow the enemy a foothold. I'm sorry, I'm getting off the Father's love a little bit, but this is His love, and this is something you need. The reason we have these standards and the reason we have these things that we do or don't do is because we've learned, mostly by watching others who fall, what not to do. You understand? That's why we minister in teams. Not just one. Because then they can come back and accuse you. You didn't even do anything. You got a witness. It needs me a witness. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. Did I say that? Okay. Anyway, just thought I'd throw it out to you. Okay. Put the robe on him. Hey, notice in verse 22 it said, and put the ring on him. That means he belongs in the family. He belongs in the family. He was out doing all this, but we welcome him. And different ones of you, when you've come here, you've come back to God, we just welcome you in. And then sometimes, after we've welcomed you in, you go and you fall again, and then you're afraid to face us. And you're afraid to talk to us, and you're afraid to come around, because you know. We don't have to tell you, but you know. But then when you come, what do? Welcome you. You know why?
Because you love me.
Because we got her. Do you get it? We're just letting God live. I'm not going to live in judgment. I'm not going to live in condemnation. There go I, but by the grace of God. There's nothing you could do or have done that I'm not capable of doing. Do you understand? But you're the preacher. Do preachers fall? It's because they've made provision for the flesh a lot of times. It's because they don't set up what we call safeguards. You see, you got to have all that. You go right ahead, brother. That's another thing. People come and go. People are like, you mean I can leave before it's time? Sure. We're not holding you. You know? We love you. You come, stay as long as you want. Leave when you need to. The ring, because he belongs in the family. Shoes. It'll make his way easier. Let's help him walk the path. Let's restore protection for his journey. His feet, he was probably barefoot. He needed help to walk. And we need help to help each other walk the right way. Because there's many things in this journey that will cause us to stumble. He was barefoot, uncovered, not protected. I'm not going to take the time. Am I, Lord? John 13, 10 through 20. And John 13, 10 through 20, and also verses 34 and 35. You look it up. Verse 23, kill the fatted calf. He didn't say, let's go get him a hamburger. Go on down to McDonald's and get him a hamburger. He said, you know, he didn't say, feed him some kung fu or jufu or whatever that stuff is that people eat.
Cold jam.
Yes, that stuff between your toes or whatever. He said, let's take the one that we've been fattening up for a special occasion. The one we were saving for something special, and let's kill it. Let's give all. Let's kill it. Let's cook it. Let's eat it. Let's Let's do it until it's gone. Let's just enjoy ourselves and make merry over this son that has returned. All for this one. Let's give all for this one. Father said, let me give my all for the one. For the one. Because that's how we get saved. I go to talk to about Jesus. Oh yeah, he died for everybody. You see, he's available to everybody. But the majority are on the way to hell, even though he died for them. Because there has to come a time when you, as an individual, realize, I'm the one. I'm the one who killed him. It's my sin. I'm the one he died for. The one. The one. That's when you meet him. That's when he becomes alive to you. Verse 24, the perspective. How dad saw the son's return. He said, my son. How the dad thought of him. What dad wanted in a relationship. Notice, relationship is two-sided. Two individuals, each making a choice. Hopefully the same choice. Have you ever loved somebody who didn't love you? Remember when we were younger? Oh! Sorry. I just want you to know there's life after that. I just want you to know there is life after that, you know. You know, puppy love leads to a dog's life, you know. You got to just be real careful, okay, about all that stuff. But love. Two people. He wanted a relationship with him. He kept talking to him about, you're my son. Even though he was wavered, even though he was away from him, even though he was rude, even though he wanted his own dad dead. That's how we've treated God. It's amazing. And he wants us. And he pursues us. He comes after us. Did the boy have a relationship with his dad in this story? Did he? Did the young son have a relationship with his dad, a meaningful relationship?
No.
Amazing. But at the end he did. It says when he came to himself, you know, he was sitting out there wishing he could eat what the pigs were eating. He went, duh. What am I doing? I got to get a clue here. The dad called him son, but the boy was son in name only until the boy returned to the dad. Did the son really know his dad before that?
No.
Before he left? He didn't really know him. He took him for granted, didn't he? Was the son like the dad? See, he didn't resemble the dad. But the dad wanted a relationship. Whew. My son was dead towards me, toward our family. He was dead in reality. He was gone. There was nothing. There's times that kids leave and the parents never hear from them again the rest of their life. There are times where that happens. And it is so grievous. God is wanting a relationship because to us, when we're gone like that, it's like in reality we're really gone. The dad tried to talk to him, but they were in different worlds. He's like talking to him. The boy can't hear. But now he's alive. The boy's returned. Now he's alive. He was dead, but now he's alive. I get saved, I get in a church, right? And they're talking about salvation, and they're talking about God, and here's all these people. Well, I'm like excited for God. I mean, if you think I'm excited now, you should have seen me back then, dude. I mean, I'd be sitting in church, just bouncing. I'm on the front row. I can't wait. Come on! Come on! I mean, it was like, I tried. I did. I tried to sit still. I was like, I got Jesus! I just met Jesus! How am I supposed to calm? I'm trying! I'm trying! And you know, it's like, Dude, I tried to be quiet. I tried to calm down. I just, you know. So then I'm like, I'm at GM or wherever I am, and I'm witnessing all these degenerates and guys and introduce them to Jesus, and I bring them to church, and they'd show up on their Harley, you know, wearing their leathers and walking in, you know. And the people at church, I'd be all upset. Look, look, he just met Jesus this week. And the people go, not here. This is my church. I'm excited. Do you got what I'm saying? Dude, he was dead and is alive. He was lost. He is found. They weren't looking through God's eyes, were they?
No.
They didn't have God's heart, did they? I'm just going to say this, and then I'm done. He was lost. Have you ever been lost? Separated from God? And is found. He returned. God can be reached. I saw a sign, a bumper sticker, and it said, God allows for U-turns. Maybe there's somebody that needs to come to God. Maybe there's somebody, maybe you need to come to God because you're hurting, but maybe you need to come to God because you don't know Him yet and you want to know Him. Do you know God? Well, I'm not sure. It's because you ain't met Him yet. You just know about Him like a historical figure. You need to meet Him because He wants to meet you right where you are. He loves you.